One, the first question is, what is a person's primary or main question in life?
What is a person's primary or main question in life?
Everyone should give an answer within 30 seconds. And so on, and move on within the circle. When you finish, just raise your hand. And then we'll move on to the next question.
I think that each person has common desires. Each person chiefly wants fulfillment and to find the biggest fulfillment that there is. So it's constantly a search to see what is there, what can be achieved, what can be give that fulfillment that's not going to go away, or to find something that is better than that.
I feel that the biggest question for people is, why am I here? What's the purpose of our life? And how can we change from so much suffering into a better state?
The main question seems to be meaning and how exactly I go about discovering it in a way where it never ends.
Seems like life in itself is full of roadblocks that pull you in the direction of the Creator, that brings you to a place such as Congress, such as this.
Why do I exist? For what reason am I here?
Go another round.
And what is the meaning of my existence here? What do I need to learn to be able to
how your answers will change.
Come to the true existence?
All the big questions in life really lead to only one big question. And that big question, we then realize that we didn't choose to be born. We didn't have any free choice in anything. And it brings us to the question of why am I here? What am I? What's the purpose of my life? And that brings us to the group. And it brings us to try and reveal the purpose of our existence.
We all look for fulfillment in life. I guess, what is the point in even being fulfilled? For what reason do I enjoy anything?
Well, I can't lie to myself. How can I feel good, and how do I make it stay there?
Am I alone to live 77 years and then die? Is that it?
I think a person's main purpose in life, building on what the great friend from Michigan said, is to find purpose in life, you know, to find a greater meaning in life. Is it just about getting a bigger house or a faster car, or is there something
more meaningful there.
When it comes to the search for purpose in life, it straddles this point of seeking fulfillment and also escaping pain. So it feels like it's a place where there will be this positive payoff, where fulfillment will just overcome the lack.
Going along with the purpose of life, again, we go through life and we gather all these things, but these things don't give us fulfillment. There's still such a hole. What's the reason for the hole?
How do I exit myself to get rid of the suffering? Because it seems no matter which come in two forms, like a nice house or a crisis of some sort, either way, I have no control over any of it. How do I get out of this? And what's the purpose of it? Or perhaps is that the purpose itself? Seems like we're all created with one or many desires in life. One of the main purposes of life is to identify those desires in a positive way to open that point in the heart. Once that point in the heart is open, to go ahead and overcome adversity within your desires also that help you gain the goal or the desire to become all one.
But what is the quality of my life? What is the quality of my existence as it is at the moment? Aren't we not born for something better than what we exist in this life? Is there no way we can transcend the qualities which we've got to become more like the Creator and live in an existence where everything is given rather than taken? What is the meaning of my life? Why do I exist suffering the qualities that I already exist in?
We find that
we saw that everyone has many answers. There's no one question about the meaning of life. One answer to the question about the meaning of life. It's like there are many questions and they're different each time. Who's governing me? What am I living for? How can I satisfy myself? What's happening in the whole reality in general? What does it all exist for? And many others. From personal questions to the most general ones. What is the answer that the wisdom of Kabbalah gives to all those questions? And why is this question universal? Suitable for all of our questions and completely satisfies them. Please. What is the answer that the wisdom of Kabbalah gives? And why is this answer perfect or complete?
If there's no meaning to an action, if there's no purpose, any given action or any given outcome we want to achieve, we find that it's tasteless. We find that there's nothing absolutely there. And in life, we advance corporeally, and we can set ourselves goals. We can set ourselves a sort of outcomes we want to reach, but it's an endless chase. And it actually brings us to the wisdom of Kabbalah, trying to end this endless chase and find the true reason why we're here. This purpose, this goal that we share amongst us, this goal of creation, it really is the source of all that satisfaction, and it's something that we understand we need to work for, and in that work truly lies the satisfaction. And the more we strive to work and to bestow to the friends, the more we see how this perfect system was always there in front of us, and it really is a source of life.
Kabbalah tells us where it all began, where it started. And it's perfect because just brings us fulfillment. It brings us a sense of peace and understanding that there was a beginning to all of it and there is an end to all of it.
Kabbalah answers this question. Kabbalah answers this question because we're just this tiny little desire that was broken from a larger one, so we can't be filled on our own. We can't find any answer because nothing permeates us enough to clarify anything what we're going through. But this is a great tool that we have, this illusion that we're broken. And it's what this circle represents. It's like the drawing that Rav drew, where all the points are around and we're filled up in the center. And that's how it's perfect and complete, is that the answer is shared in the connection between us and not within our own corporeal vessels.
He said it all. We start from this position of brokenness. We look out and we see it. It's not because I see you as broken. I see you as different. I see you as whatever. Something isn't right with the picture, and Kabbalah says to us that this is a state which we've been brought to for a very specific purpose. There is a purpose to it, and there's a way out. It's universal because we all participate in it from the same broken state. It's nobody better, nobody worse, nobody more broken, nobody less broken. We all came from one source, and we can go back there. Going back, as Joe said, this idea of connection, which is happening right here, right now, so simple, and so beautiful, and it's so difficult, unless you have a whole lot of friends looking at you helping. Then it becomes simple too.
Building upon what Joe and William said, through the connection, our connection together, this is where we discover the Creator. And the Creator created this whole system so we could become like Him. We can't become Him, but we could become like His essence. So we are constantly trying to fulfill His will, to become like Him, to develop these new senses of Keter, Chokhmah, you know, Zerapin and Malchut, to build our spiritual senses, to equal our corporeal senses, and to build one world on top of the other. And none of this happens without the connection between us, because that's the only place we can discover the Creator. It's the only place where we could go through the trials and tribulations and get the support that we need to get through those trials and tribulations. It's only with the friends.
Each person wants to really just have fulfillment. And it can take all sorts of different forms, but we can each look at our lives and say that we're always chasing some type of fulfillment. And the wisdom of Kabbalah comes along and says, here's a way to receive fulfillment in an eternal fashion by inverting the desire to receive pleasure to be in order to bestow contentment to the Creator.
Kabbalah is a source of healing the fracture. For millennia, we've walked and we've tried on a level of ego, and it produced nothing but more ego. Kabbalah is a source of the mending of the vessel and the glue that will bring us back to the Creator, where we're supposed to be.
In other words, the wisdom of Kabbalah reveals for us the upper force, which is the operator, the only operator in reality that created it. And that's why all of our questions really should be aimed toward that. And the answers to those questions are called the revelation of the Creator to a person. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah really brings us to receiving answers to everything. It doesn't bring us into hearing the clever answers, but it brings us into the complete reality. And this is called the answer to the question. An answer isn't something you hear and you understand intellectually. Or maybe I feel better, I just feel better. An answer means you return to the source. And there you complement your questions with the answers. Meaning there you become complete. That's what the wisdom of Kabbalah enables us to do. Now a different question. How come we can get our answers only within a group? Not in our intellect, not in our emotions, in our hearts, but in a group intellect and emotion, in a group mind and heart, so to speak. Yes, please.
How can we get our answers? Why can't we get our answers only in the group mind and heart, so to speak?
we come to the group already with these burning questions. And when I approach the group, I discover that we all have these same burning questions. I am in an environment and I can, a safe environment that I can, we can open ourselves up and help each other.
As always, it seems like the questions get harder and harder every time he asks a new one. I can only think or feel that the answers are even in this group or even seeing everyone walk through the door to come in to register for the convention. It just feel the energy that everyone is bringing in, the connection and the feeling of I'm going to connect with everyone and raise us all to a new level or a higher level to bestow upon each other. I think our connection and our desire within the group and within every group here is a big energy source that will help all of us bring up our desires.
The group reveals to a person all the points which he needs to connect with. It reveals to the person the qualities within himself that he needs to correct to actually be able to connect with the people around him. All the qualities that we bring together, collective qualities, allow us to scrutinize our own intentions and the way we deal with things within group activities. Allow us to understand ourselves better, how we can be able to change our nature to become more altruistic and more like the Creator.
The group is really the only tool we have to reveal the upper system, and we're given this puzzle, this broken puzzle, and the group is like our laboratory to start putting the puzzle together, to start making sense of how we can actually put the puzzle together in a safe environment. So we're put in a group with the right friends, with the right setting between us, so that we can start working in that connection, start aspiring to really nullify ourselves and find that, be that part of that body that's already there. And this is the only way that we can achieve this, because the state is already perfected. And it's only us that we need to delve deeper and deeper and include ourselves as part of that body. And it's a conscious decision that we want to be a part of that body and let the upper system activate the group and activate us through the group.
In order to discover the Creator, we have to reach equivalence of form. And in order to reach equivalence of form with the Creator, we have to annul the ego, because the ego is, it's an unwillingness to connect with others. And so naturally, you need a group of others to connect.
Well, the questions certainly do get harder, and every time Rob opens his mouth, I realize I have more pride to swallow. Because when I have something that I've said to the group and they don't correlate with what he says, I feel even more lost, and I'm really thankful that that was shown to me. We're playing a game right now, and we need a group to play that game, to do what we came here to do, which is to connect.
Quite simply, I'm shown all the time, more and more and more, how little I can trust my own intellect, my own ideas. They think, I think, the ego thinks, whatever it is in here, it thinks it knows it all. Just ask me. And every time we come into this workshop, which I used to think was just ridiculous, I didn't like it at all, because it continually shows me that as the questions get harder, as you're all saying, I have less to say. Until I listen to you guys. The listening somehow seems to be part of the whole key, which although it was probably told to us, I didn't hear. I can't trust myself. The answers are coming from a broken spot. When you're all together, when we're all together, then the picture starts to become more clear. Even though difficult questions, on my own, I can do nothing. Rob asks questions and I'm lost. But then I listen to Warren or I listen to Chris. I just listen to everyone who takes the mic. Doesn't matter what they say. All of a sudden, a picture starts to form. Not because any one of us knows the answer. I certainly don't. But together somehow, we build this piece by the game that you talked about, by the pieces you're all bringing up. One answer won't do it. All of us together, now we can find something.
I'm a horrible egoist. I'm such an egoist, I'm going to tell you I'm the worst egoist out of all of you. And I know that without the structure of the group, without the consistency of the group, without the advice from Rav, without the books, without being with the friends all the time, I would even be a worse egoist than I am now. And it's that structure, it's this life that we live, for the consistency with the lesson, with everything that we do, with the connection, with bringing questions to the friends, just like and working things out the same way we do now. I know I can't trust myself because my ego is out of control. You know, it's just, I can't control it. All I could do is hope to build something next to it, so I build the line of sanctity. And by doing that, I could try to find balance. But me, I'm hopeless on my own, and I know that. You know, it took me a long time to realize that in the group, there's nothing but all the answers. Nothing but the only way to advance in spirituality, the only way to survive the descents, the only way to keep your ego in check when you're in an ascent, without the group checking me, I'm useless.
There's not a whole lot more to say. When we came to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we had a desire for fulfillment. We scrutinized that to be a desire for spirituality. And then, later, through the work with the Rav, the group and books, scrutinized it further to be a desire for bestowal. And as we go to congresses, to lessons, to dissemination and various other actions, this desire for bestowal continues to grow. And even though we haven't yet achieved it,
we feel that we will achieve it.
I'm just that. I don't know anything. Not a thing. But I can tell you what I experienced in the last couple hours. Is that dot, when it connects to all the other dots, there's a healing there. There's a... I don't know, I can't even explain it. It's bigger than words. It's bigger than my thoughts. It's much larger than my heart. But it's real. That's what the group is.
It seems that we all are a real horrible egoists, but that's the way we were created. And we constantly chase after something because we always think, we have this problem with thought. We think, and we always think we know something or we know better. But when we approach the group, as has been said and added again, it's the laboratory. I have this experiment. Once we open up completely, connect on the fact that we're all opening up, we just have to want it. We don't have to correct anything. It's like a... We just have to want it bad enough. And find joy in just the process of wanting it. We want something different than what we really are, or what we think we are.
One of the biggest things that we all come into the group, and the hardest things are, of course, our own egos. And to shed that ego into the group and letting our guard down, as they say, letting us basically speak from the heart, and being able to listen, as William said earlier, so I don't know, I'm clueless. I don't know any of the answers. When I listen to everyone, that's when everything kind of starts to resonate a little bit. You know, I get that's...
The next question. If we have substantial questions, if their solution is the revelation of the Creator, if the revelation of the Creator can happen only at the center of the group, in the connection between us, what's stopping us from achieving His wholeness? It's all before us. Everything is explained. Everything is so clear. What's the reason that we can't actualize it, that we can't implement it? Who is our enemy? Who is obstructing us? How do we discover him and erase him? It means a question mark. Please.
If we have substantial questions, is the revelation of the Creator only happening in the center of the group? What's the reason we can't actualize it or realize it? what's obstructing or stopping us? So to simplify that, if we know the revelation of the Creator happens in the center of the group, why can't we achieve it?
You're looking at him.
Hear you.
Me? I'm stopping it. This I, this ego, this Seth said he was the biggest egoist. And a flash of anger went through me. How dare you say that I'm a bigger egoist? It's ridiculous when you look at it from the side. But we can only do it from the side right now, at least for me, when we're in this format, this group. Artificial, maybe, 10 guys sitting in a circle. Maybe we can expand that somehow. I don't know. I don't know what's possible, but I know here it's possible. I stop it. My pride. This pride will not let me go. And it is the sneakiest animal that's around. It will find a way to rear its head and justify itself. And unless we help each other, then I'm in an ocean that I can't get out of.
Now, following William, I think there were two reasons. I think reason number one is purely psychological, and reason number two is building upon what William was saying, we just can't let go. So if we can't let go, how can we get over the psychological barrier that's saying, okay, we can't do it? I think we can do it. I just think that we're not doing enough work together to be able to have the strength that you get from the group to give up what you need to give up in order to achieve it. And then it's my fault, it's William's fault, it's all of our faults, because it's there. You can grab it. It's, I don't know. It's like one of those things, like a mirage you could see, and you just want to wrap your arms around it, and then when you do it, nothing's there. So I feel that, you know, if we worked better together, if we found what the true meaning of our voodoo is, we can do it. I really believe it with all my heart, because I've seen so many things that have shown me that it's achievable.
Like the friend said, it's chiefly the ego, it's that desire for self-benefit, which taints everything, even the most glorious thing like bestowal. It lies at the very center of it. It's the foundation. And our ego makes us think that we have this great strength to do things, or even if we get all together, we have this great strength together to do things. But really, we have a great strength to ask for correction, because it's the Creator who has to actually bring the light to correct us.
I think that the thought is that I think that I'm greater than the Creator. I think I'm more wise, have the wisdom to fix everything. But in truth, I'm just an idiot. Made simple.
Well, it's once again, not only do the questions get harder, but so do the responses, because when you sit back and you listen, oh, I mean, what can I honestly say? There's nothing really to say except just to look at you all and just be in complete, total amazement, and just plead, just want to be just like you.
I listen to William and Seth argue about who has the biggest egoism, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, I have no egoism. You know, and in itself, that is egoism. You know, that is an ego right there, thinking that I don't have that much ego. So the question is obviously we all have an ego towards something within inside of us. I guess the question again would be is how do we correct our ego within the center here so we're not pushing each other away? Because I believe that's what we're doing, you know, with this, is we all, when we listen to everyone, we hear everyone speak about their egoism. And it's the question, you know, how do you sit here and now you're aware of it, and how do you correct it? Now, how do I ask all of you to help, you know, what little I think I have, you know, some egoism or, you know, an egoistic nature inside of myself. You know, I believe it's the Creator that's going to help us pull together to help us correct this ego and put it out to the center and build a stronger bond to attain Him.
Well, I think we all know we are the will to receive. That's what we are. We are a will to receive. And the difficult question is always going to be, are we going to transcend that will to receive? We know we're not capable on our own because it lies to us and tells us all the things that we want to hear. At every turn, every thought in your head, everything that comes to you from one minute to the next, it can be the simplest thing about just things you're doing in a daily life or things you're looking at in your study, that thought can come and that will to receive will work on you every time. So the difficulty is always going to be, how do we transcend it? And the only way I think we can do it is by collective thought and overcoming, positive way forward.
I'm going to follow up on that thought, brother, of collective overcoming. And where Thin Big Ego is here, and it's crystal clear for every one of us that even though we push, and it's always the friends that are chipping away that heart of stone, and they really are, we feel some sort of connection, we feel that we're striving to something, and then our ego gets the best of it. And we see that again and again and again. And it's really bringing us to that point that we're really realizing that we need each other, we absolutely need each other. And even though we want to be in that true arbut, and that we want to be in that thought of friends all the time, the first little obstacle that the Creator wants to throw our way, it tosses us right out to the wall. So we need to just ask for that upper force, and it needs to be that true, true prayer for every one of us that we understand that we're nothing without our points in their heart, without all of us annulling to that center of the group and asking for that upper force to really be revealed and to really bring us out of our nature.
Everything that's told to us is about connection, and we just don't want to connect. Because we grow up in a society that says that if you want to advance, you need to be the best of the best. That only the great ones achieve anything. And we need to let go of that and just get to the point where you can say, you realize that you need help. I need help. You need help. Help me, help you. Help me.
We do need help. I still find it funny that Lord, I still find it funny that
we all get a little envious about who has the bigger ego in this environment. Most people would not understand, but I get the feeling that we feel this way because that's the whole goal. This ego creates a resistance. The delta that we talk about, without it, there is no revelation. So yeah, I do want to be the biggest egoist. Because that's the solution. Without the ego, there is no revelation.
Well, it would seem that there's something else at play here. If it's true, there is none else besides him. And he is good that does good. Then where do I have to find that? Where is this revelation even possible? My daily life? No. There's no way. By myself? So we've all agreed it can't happen. What Seth was saying really rang true. There is this possibility of finding the strength to overcome. In this word, this concept, Darbut, that we come to slowly, even the recognition. I don't know how many times I've read that article. I'm going to go back and read it again now, because I don't think I understood a word of it. But in there, in here, in this group, this center of the group, maybe that Arvut is right there. Maybe we have it here, right amongst us. If we listen and look and hear the Creator speaking to us through the friend.
I want to build on what my great friends Javier and David said. It is, you know, about the Arvut, but in the Arvut we have to find something that we don't know how to do, which is the common prayer. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, you know, the depths of I've had to endure has sort of gotten me up to the next level. And how can we all share?
Next question. Sorry, I have to interrupt. I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you. It's very nice to see you're all so happy. This warm connection is beautiful. The Creator is the source of everything. The source of the bad and the source of the good. From him comes the ego, the will to receive. And from him comes the quality of bestowal, the desire to give. If we want to advance straight to the Creator, we need to relate to those two things, to those two forces, reception and bestowal, equally. How do we maintain that?
If we want to advance, we have to approach. Well, we have to approach both the good things and the bad things equally. How do we maintain that? It's not easy. No, not easy at all. But it's a lot of practice. It's not getting too wound up about the bad things, which is the really, really hard part. But you know, when you're in an ascent, to really hold on as well. So it's always about holding on. It's always about, you know, not and also understanding that the support that you get from your friends in the group through the bad things is just as important as, you know, when you're having good things, you feel like you don't need the group. So it's even more important that you're with the group and tighter and in the structure and in the lesson every day and connected. So every time I think I've achieved this and I don't get too excited about the good things or the bad thing, the creator whacks me. So I really think that I have to. It's a constant work. But once again, the only answer is through the group. You know, this is what teaches me how to behave. This is what teaches me how I should find the answers.
Well, Seth really said it. When it comes to reception and bestowal and balancing these, we were given a deck unfairly stacked towards favoring reception at all times. We say we want bestowal, and then later we go, oh, that was just to receive too. And so, really, it's like we do in the workshop. We try to enter the center of the group. We try to annul there. We try to achieve something that we don't have, which is the quality of bestowal. And it is trying to hold on to something and losing it, and trying to hold on to it again, and constantly going through this till eventually we feel that we will have this balance that is needed, where we're holding on always.
Sorry, friends, but I don't know how to sustain it yet. You know, I don't, except I'm learning that it's with you that it's going to happen. It's not going to be done by myself. It's not going to be done behind me, you know, starting out on my own. It's going to be intermingling with you that sustainability is going to happen.
Well, so again, just expounding upon what's already been said, it's a constant effort. You know, when you set out towards a goal, and then you enter the group and you discover the goal, the real goal. Then you start to want in a different sort of way. You know, you want for something other than yourself. And we'll get the wax, but it's hanging tight and remembering, never losing sight of that want that we all share.
You know, the question itself kind of, I don't want to say incenses me, because or makes me a little angry, only to the fact that when I'm at work or at home, and I think of reception and bestowal, and I try to think between spirituality and corporeality, you know, what is the difference? I mean, can you please show me the difference? Ask the Creator, please. You know, there has to be something different, or a feeling or something, and how to equally, you know, how do I even know how to have an equal of bestowal and reception when everything's corporeal in front of us? You know, do I, here's a box of candy, and I thank, you know, and I receive the great, you know, smile from you. Is that you know what we, is that what we want? You know, is that an equal reception and bestowal. I mean, that's a corporeal way, but I still struggle every day in trying to figure out the spirituality aspect and how I'm or how we figure out the corporeal the angle of bestowal and reception. And I ask and I pound my fist every day on, you know, please, you know, help us all. You know, not just myself, but, you know, to expand and show us and pull us in that direction where we feel the difference between the two.
I think we can all sort of come to some understanding of that. Everything that's sent to us is for our own good and our own benefit for us to actually understand who we are. But I always come back to the idea of how do we balance that tightrope of thought. It's a real tightrope that we're walking every minute of the day. And how can we balance that? How do we come to a point where we can accept the things that are coming into us every day, every minute, and take what supposedly the negative aspect of the thought and turn it into a positive aspect? How do we find that balance? Something obviously you can only find when you listen to the others and what they tell you, you know, the answers that they give you. I don't know the answers.
That balance, it's a fact that we cannot find it by ourselves. It's a fact that I cannot find it by myself whatsoever. I'm so far apart from that balance. But I know how to nullify, and I want to return to that state of nullification with my friends. I want to be that embryo. I really want to receive everything from you brothers, and I want to keep that state. I see you so great, and when we gather together, when we're sitting in a circle, and we all feel that we can just put our little part, and we are feeling that state of mutual nullification. But when we break up, when corporeality takes the best of us, then we're thrown out of that state. But we can always try to return to that state of nullification and be in that state of an embryo and really try to be in between the two forces. I don't know what bestowal is, but I know how I can strive to nullify to my friends, and that's, I really want them to receive. I know I will receive everything if my friends receive everything.
I think at some point we just have to accept that we aren't egoists. We are the will to receive, and we can't change that. We have to kind of give up on that fact. Because until we give up, we still think we can do it ourselves. We still try and try, but it's only when we give up that we can turn towards the Creator and start to make our way back towards the stole and find a balance between the two.
What was the original question again?
If the Creator is the source of everything good and bad, the ego and the will to receive, and bestow, if we want to advance, how can we treat both the will to receive and bestow good and bad equally?
How can we treat the will to receive and bestow equally? Having faith that both are pushing us in the same direction towards the goal. Both advance us in many different ways, it may seem to us, at any given time. But we have to have a certain attitude.
Last question. How can we define if we felt the center of our circle, each union, each circle? Can it say that out of this deliberation, something common emerged? And what is that common thing?
When we find the center of the circle, can we say that something common emerged? And what was that thing, that common thing that emerged? No pressure.
We all gave in-depth answers that we could all feel. That is the commonality, is what we feel. It's not what we say. It's none of that, none of the exterior. What we found is internal. We carry it with us, and we pass it around the circle. There's a central point that we can't see right now, lying dead center between all of us, and it's guiding us to itself.
I'm not sure that I can say what it is. I can see the evidence. I can feel the evidence. I can hear it. I can sense it, and somehow, if you just listen to the answers as we go around the circle, they come closer and closer and closer together in some way. It's not that I'm listening to Chris and I'm going to say what he said. It has nothing to do with that. Somehow it circles inward. And the answer's not mine. It's not Warren's. It's not Chris. It's not. The answer starts to come not from me and not from you, but from us. And this commonality, this closer and closer and closer, we're even doing it physically, is in every way we start to feel this closeness, this connection. You can hear it, you can sense it, you can see it when you look at your friend. Draw closer. And as we draw closer, this individual shell somehow drops away just a little bit.
I think there's this like field that's in the middle, and that if we just listening to what the friends are saying and we're feeling what they're feeling and where it's coming from, it's very easy to find that plane and build upon what your friend says and, you know, find the connection that's there. And I think what we take away from this is that it's all about the connection. It's all about us being together. Without the connection, without the group, you can't do it. You know, to me, this is always the actualization of the wisdom of Kabbalah. by doing this. This is practical Kabbalah. This is how we take our teaching and work it on a day-to-day basis. Take it out of the esoteric. Take it out of the, you know, out of, well, we could. No, we do. And by doing, we find and we prove to ourselves every day that this is true. And being with all you guys inspires me so much. And it just, like, I didn't, you know, I knew some of you, but I didn't know a lot of you guys, and it just really inspired me being with you and, you know, feeling you.
Before each of us spoke, we tried to connect to the center of the group. When the other friends were speaking, we imagined it was the creator speaking through the friend. These two components, together with the guidance of our teacher, I think that equals reaching the center of the group, at least touching that initial point.
I feel today that the commonality that we reached, I don't even know if we're there yet, but it's without each other, we're not going to be able to do it.
Well, it seems that we all came to, we all listened, we all tried, and we all made efforts to attempt to come out of ourselves and move, connect to the center. And it seems that in that effort we became one, because we united around the fact that we decided to try to do this together, not separately.
And continuing, my great friend Chris over here said that, you know, we all came together as individuals, I felt, as we sat in the circle. And now we've kind of unclothed our individuality, and we're all kind of now share something common now in reference to, you know, an allegory of maybe, you know, being all naked, because now we all share something in that fact where everyone came and sat down with some type of individuality in clothing. Now we're all one. We all seem to have exposed ourselves in the fact that now we're all going to help each other get to this goal, and know that we're not alone, and we can basically bond and climb this ladder called spirituality.
The center of the group probably comes from the unity that's contained within it. I suppose it's difficult to actually be able to feel that centering. What I do know is just when we sit here and talk to each other and we say how we feel, the feelings that we have contained within us, and then feelings are released into the people around you, then you start to get a sense of how the unity of the ten can come together and influence each other with regards to how we're going to reach the goal that we're all aiming for.
And that goal, it really feels we're building it together. And And that is, I think, the real sensation that we come to that very real and that very true understanding that we can only build it together. That every one of us comes here and brings their individual peace, and we make all this efforts to try and build something together. And it just acquires a life of its own. It really does. Every time. And we see how many times, I mean, there's the initial struggles of trying to, like, kickstart something, and then it all just starts just developing by itself. And one, I mean, a part of us just starts really nullifying to the center of the group, and all of us...
A question. Can we imagine a situation where we are all together at the center of the group and our bodies don't exist? Let's try.
Dressed as a fine From God.